The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
You have to scare, we don't have the economy on our side as Democrats, so you have to scare the bejesus out of people. The way to scare it is say, you know, this replacement theory, this is not just coming from some dark corner of the web. This is the Republican platform. Make them own it. If Democrats run from this fistfight, I know in the previous segment, Eugene Daniels, you talked about the president not wanting to call out names. Call out Tucker Carlson. Call out the politicians and make them own it. This is a Republican platform. It's the racist Republican replacement theory.
What an admission right there. It sounds like he said the quiet part out loud. We don't have the economy on our side as Democrats, so you have to scare people. And how are they trying to scare people? By using this great replacement theory. It is a lie. It's a political smear. It's a hit job. They have to stoke fear. They are that desperate. And what a grotesque and horrible lie this one is. They are dividing this nation, turning people against one another because they are that desperate. We'll talk about that quite a bit in the first half of today's show. Hello, welcome to the Trumpet Daily. I'm Sam Livingston, your guest host for today's program. Like Mr. Fleury said yesterday, he's traveling to Arizona with the senior students who just graduated, and we're hoping to do a couple live shows from that location, or from him, from that location on Friday and Monday. So hopefully that all runs smoothly. If you have any comments or feedback for the show, send those to td@thetrumpet.com. If you'd like to request any of the literature on today's show, you can call our toll-free number 1-866-930-3024. Now, Donnie Deutsch, that's the man you saw in the clip there right at the top. He says the part that we all know. They know that we know it's a lie, but they keep telling it, this great replacement theory. Suddenly, this is all they can talk about after the latest mass shooting. But this theory is not new. It's actually something that is part of the Democrats' policy. It's part of their agenda, is to change the demographics of the United States so that they can get more voters. They are obviously a large chunk of minority voters vote Democrat. That's shifting, as we'll talk about in a little bit. And they have openly admitted that this is something that they want to do. It motivates their immigration policy, is to change the demographics. Grabian put together quite a lengthy montage of Democrats promoting this theory. Go ahead and play clip two.
It seems harder and harder to ignore that the echoes of replacement theory and other racially motivated views are increasingly coming out into the open.
In a few years, we're going to be a majority brown country. White people will not be the majority in the country anymore.
This will be the first generation ever in American history in which whites will be a minority of the generation at some point.
As of 2007, every year, babies being born in this country, whites now are the minority.
In 2044, everyone is going to be a minority.
As the demographics change, as white people become the minority in the country, which is coming.
Demographics is destiny.
Demographics is destiny.
Demographics is destiny, right? The country is changing.
I've been saying it here. Other people have been saying it here for years now, even before Donald Trump. The demographics is destiny.
The white population is declining for the first time in history in America, while the number of multiracial Americans have more than doubled.
So we live in a country where the demographics are changing. It's becoming less white.
Correct.
Okay.
You'll be announcing that we're calling the 38 electoral votes of Texas for the Democratic nominee for president. It's changing. It's going to become a purple state and then a blue state because of the demographics, because of the population growth.
The growth in Texas has been almost entirely driven by non-white population growth, mostly by Hispanic and Latino population growth.
The idea that whites will not be the majority, I mean, that's it's an exciting transformation of the country. It's an exciting evolution and, you know, progress of our country in many different ways.
The white population is declining. It was always on the upswing. So that speaks to the beautiful diversity of America. It speaks to how that population will, the demographics will weigh in politically.
I believe anybody who echoes a replacement is to blame, not for this particular crime, but it's for no purpose except profit and or political benefit. And it's wrong. It's just simply wrong.
I would argue it's unlike any other large country in the world. So there's a second thing in that black box, an unrelenting stream of immigration, nonstop. Folks like me who were Caucasian of European descent, for the first time in 2017, will be in an absolute minority in the United States of America. Absolute minority. Fewer than 50% of the people in America from then and on will be white European stock. That's not a bad thing. That's a source of our strength. And so we have been, we haven't always gotten it right.
Now, I'm not going to get into all the details of that theory and explain that, but there you see the Democrats really for decades have been talking about the demographic change in the United States. And the game is they're allowed to say that all they want because and that is the truth of the matter, just looking at the stats in the United States. That's part of their policy. But as soon as Tucker Carlson says it, as soon as a Republican says it, oh, well, that's inciting terrorism. That's racism. It's another political smear. And the hypocrisy is so obvious and easy to see. This was a meme that was on floating around social media. This is Democrats. The changing demographics of America will soon result in a permanent Democrat majority. Republicans' response. It almost sounds like you're trying to replace the current electorate with one that will keep you in power forever. Democrats' response. That's a racist conspiracy theory. I mean, it is childish, the back and forth to hear between these politicians. But this lie, it is grotesque and it's disgusting to be that desperate that you're relying on this racist story and trying to peg your political opponents as white supremacists, as extremists, as terrorists. These are not people trying to unify the United States. These are desperate hypocrites, and they are trying to stir up anger and division, and they are liars. Donnie Deutsch said it in that clip at the top. You just have to scare people, and we need this theory to stick to Republicans, and we need them to own up to it, even though we've been talking about it as policy for decades. John 8 and verse 44 says they talking about the devil and to these Pharisees, you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And this is Satan's world, as we cover extensively on this program. And look at the lying. It's so hard to find truth in this world. And these people, they see they're not polling well. They're desperate for power. This is from the Wall Street Journal. It's an article titled, "The Mass Shooting Blame Game." You're right. This is editorial board. Democrats and the mainstream media want to use replacement theory as a stigma to smear as racist anyone who doesn't like open borders or critical race theory or the Democratic Party's hyper-race consciousness. So if you oppose those things, well, that means you want that you're in favor of replacement theory or you are now this white supremacist. That's what they're trying to peg you as. If you want legal immigration, you're just a white supremacist now, and they're hoping that that will stick. The journal writes, and now they want to claim that Republicans and mainstream conservatives are accomplices in racially motivated domestic terrorism. Exploiting a mass murder is despicable, but especially when it's a political strategy to hang on to power in an election year. And it's as if the script was already written for them, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was. That shooting happened. It was incredible how quickly the New York Times, the Associated Press, the Washington Post got those articles out that day, extensive articles writing about all of these supposed ways that Tucker Carlson and the right-wing media drove these mass shooters, and they ignore all of the plainly Democrat-inspired shootings, like when Steve Scalise was shot, and that shooter said he's a Bernie Sanders supporter. He admitted it was politically motivated, and if they don't admit it outright, well, then the FBI just covers it up. They just ignore it. They say they can't find a motive. You look at the Las Vegas shooter from, I believe that was in 2018, shoots into a crowd of country music concert goers. I mean, it's so obvious to just infer from the target there what his political leanings would have been. At the FBI, just no motive. And what makes this especially rich, talking about this replacement theory from the Democrats, is that they've wanted this for years, but now you look at the Hispanics and you look at the black vote, and it's swinging Republican. Look at the border counties in Texas, Arizona, New Mexico in 2020. Dramatic, dramatic shifts towards Republicans. So that whole idea that policy isn't working like they thought is just an attempt to smear their enemies. And a lot of these poor minorities, these immigrants that are coming in, they're switching from the Democrat Party because things like inflation and gas prices are hitting them harder than anyone else. The Democrats, like I said, you can see how desperate they are this year. There was the Roe v. Wade leak. They hoped that that would stick, and that really hasn't changed the political meter at all. They routinely talk about the insurrection and ultra MAGA, the MAGA extremists, hoping that that will stick. That backfired. And now they're on to replacement theory. This is a clip from a Democrat representative from Anthony Brown, from Maryland. His name is Anthony Brown. And he's talking about purging the dissenters from the military. This is clip 3.
I introduced a measure in the Defense Authorization Act to require the Department of Defense to identify and eliminate from the military those who are members of extremist groups. Again, it made it out of the House. It failed in the Senate. We need to reintroduce that and make sure that in the military, you cannot be a member of an extremist group. But we also need to have a federal standard, or at least incentives for states to adopt protocols and procedures to at least monitor and observe the existence of extremism, particularly in our schools. Now, I'm not suggesting you're going to kick a child out of school because they may seem to have a proclivity or interest in an extremist group, but you can certainly bring greater resources for that young person so that they are not radicalized, they're not indoctrinated, and that they eventually will not act out on those white supremacist, white nationalism, white and other extremist activity.
Doesn't that all sound so nice? Why would anyone disagree that we want to make sure there aren't terrorists in our schools? And it all depends upon how they define those things. They want to make sure members of extremist groups are not in the military. Great, I don't want that either. What's an extremist group? Oh, well, Tucker Carlson, he's got 3 million viewers. Anyone that voted for Donald Trump, 74 million Americans. I mean, he says it at the end there, anyone that that they can't act out on those white supremacists, white nationalism, white and other extremist activity. Watching Tucker Carlson is considered extremism now. That's how they want to define it. And if you're in the military, if you're in the medical industry, if you work anywhere in government, they want you out if you're Republican. They want you out if you have any of those conservative values, because they want absolute control. They cannot defend their position. So they use power to force people to think their way or to get out. Look at how they just lump everybody in with these groups. This bill would police the thoughts of children in school. And I guarantee you what they're thinking is, well, what are their parents like? He says, we also need to have a federal standard or at least incentives for states to adopt protocols and procedures to at least monitor and observe the existence of extremism, particularly in our schools. Now, how many mass shooters has the FBI and the DHS missed over the past few years? The Buffalo shooter, he had that manifesto online days before the attack. He was flagged a year or two beforehand and somehow was able to go buy a gun. You look at that Florida shooter, Nicholas Cruz, years and years of documented mental instability, dozens of police reports, very unstable, posted threats online. The FBI had him flagged. And somehow these attacks are still able to happen. They are already monitoring these things. They're just not doing anything about it. Now they've redefined extremism and they want to purge that out. This is from The Hill. It's talking about this bill that Anthony Brown was mentioning there. At The Hill, they write, this bill, dubbed the Domestic Terrorism Prevention Act, I mean, who wouldn't want to prevent domestic terrorism, passed in a 220, passed in the House with one Republican, Adam Kinzinger, of course, bucking party leadership recommendation and voting for the legislations, The legislation specifically calls for the formation of domestic terrorism offices within the Department of Homeland Security, Department of Justice, and FBI that would be tasked with monitoring and scrutinizing potential terror activity. As if none of this already happens. They just want to make it more overtly political, and they want to work around the Constitution. They have to find a way to get around that Fourth Amendment. They have to find a way to legally spy on American citizens. So they change the words. They change the meaning. They define their political opponents as extremists. They say Tucker Carlson motivated that shooter in Buffalo because he mentioned something about replacement theory. Not to mention he had a 180-page manifesto where he supports communism, where he denounces Republicans. I mean, he was a socialist. And all of that aside, he was mentally deranged. That shooting happened because that person was unstable. They were mentally out of their minds. And how gross it is, especially when you look at those victims, when you look at the footage of that attack, the first thing these Democrats do is use that mass murder to smear their political opponents. Not even a second of mourning before they came up with this replacement theory tagline. The Hill. House Majority Leader Sten Hoyer of Maryland pointed to the January 6, 2021 attack on the Capitol as reason the legislation is needed. I know, as I believe every member of this House knows, that extremist violence can reach anyone, anytime, anywhere, whether it be a place of worship, a grocery store, or, as we learned last year, this very hall, the Maryland Democrats said. So they help organize the attack like they did in Michigan, like they did in January 6th. They help incite violence, and then they use that to justify these extreme overreaches into the lives of everyday Americans. One individual the past couple of months who's really been outspoken, surprisingly, is Elon Musk. We've mentioned him before on this show. He posted yesterday on Twitter, he said, in the past, I voted Democrat because they were mostly the kindness party. Now, Musk, he is, I mean, 2-3 years ago, he's left wing. That, without question, he is, I would have said at that time, pretty far left in some of the things that he would do. But now he's turned. He says, but they, the Democrats, have become the party of division and hate. So I can no longer support them and will vote Republican. Now, watch their dirty tricks campaign against me unfold. He knows it. He knows how they work now. He knows the script. They know that he knows, but they'll do it anyway. He followed up with that. He was, his company, Tesla, was kicked off of this S&P 500 list. It's an index called the ESG that measures the environmental, social, and governance of a company, essentially the social responsibility score. It's totally meaningless. Doesn't mean anything, but, you know, the top rank 500 companies, how they rank on this list. So Tesla has always been on there because for the longest time, that was the alternative. You know, if you care about the climate, you buy that electric car, you're buying a Tesla, and you're supporting the fight against climate change. Well, Tesla is no longer on that list, not even in the top 500, because they say that Musk promotes, of course, a racist work environment. No evidence of that. He just has to be racist because he disagrees with us. And he's been removed now from this list. So they're going after his companies. He responded to his removal from that list. He said, Exxon, the big oil company, Exxon is rated top 10 best in the world for environment, social, and governance by the S&P 500, while Tesla didn't make the list. ESG is a scam. It has been weaponized by phony social justice warriors. He knows the game. A lot of people are waking up. A lot of these business owners, a lot of these billionaires are waking up. Jeff Bezos has had his run-ins with Joe Biden over the past week. They know at the end of the day where or what makes money and what doesn't make money. You can ask the CEO of Disney. You step into that political realm, you start siding with them, you're going to lose half your customers. I saw a poll on the favorability of companies, and Disney used to be, I think, in the 60-70% range. They're now down to 33%. Netflix has the same problem. Stock value is just crashing, plummeting. They have this whole run-in with the very tiny LGBTQIA XYZ part of their company. Oh, they're very upset. They're going to stop working. Well, the content Netflix is producing just is not working for viewers anymore. And they just recently said, look, if you have a problem with the content, go work somewhere else. Because we need to produce what the consumers want. And what they clearly do not want this weird stuff that you guys are pushing out. And at the end of the day, it's the bottom line. These companies do not have access to the Federal Reserve the way the government does and can just print money to keep their employees. If they don't have money coming in, people lose their jobs. And if that happens, then you have to reassess and you have to make a change. Well, speaking of these smear campaigns, it was announced yesterday by the Washington Post that the Ministry of Truth, the Disinformation Governance Board, is now on pause. We've spoken about that on past programs. This, whatever you want to call it, I'm just going to refer to it as the Ministry of Truth. I don't know how better to describe what it is. It was supposed to be led by a woman named Nina Jankowicz. And consider the short lifespan of this board, the Ministry of Truth. First, we learned about this from a leak in Politico. So there was never even a formal announcement about its existence, which is exactly how you would expect the government to handle something like this. They're just secretly creating these boards to spy on you, to tell you what is and is not the truth. So we learn about the Disinformation Governance Board from Politico. Not long after that, Nina Jankowicz comes out bragging about how she's going to be the new leader of it. And then the world starts taking a look at Nina Jankowicz and says, no, thank you. First of all, this Ministry of Truth idea is crazy, as if you need the government telling you what is and what is not truth. And then you look at her history, clearly a political hack, and very weird and odd on top of that. We played her trying to her political version of Mary Poppins. So there's this whole campaign really against her because she's so biased to get this thing canceled. It clearly is not polling well for Democrats to introduce a Ministry of Truth, you know, months before the midterm election. So now this board has been put, or the formation of this board has been put on pause. Probably will just come back after the midterms because they know, boy, if you've got this thing going into the midterms, it's just, there's so much fuel for the Republicans to use against them. Nina said that she would be resigning from her position. But how did we learn about, just take a moment to think about, how do we learn about this board? We learned about it from Politico, no announcement from the government. Then we learned that it's being disbanded from the Washington Post. No formal announcement from the government. And the writer of that Washington Post article is Taylor Lorenz. We've played clips of her crying before about how there were some mean people on Twitter that said some not nice things to her. She's really a blogger, but she gets paid by the Washington Post to be a journalist. Her article, and you look at Taylor Lorenz and Nina Jankowicz, and they're pretty much the same person. That is who you would expect to write the article. Her article is titled, "How the Biden Administration Let Right-Wing Attacks Derail Its Disinformation Efforts." It was that pressure, they say, it was the right wing that got this derailed. I read one commentator this morning that said the government is, or the Democrats are not going to respond to outrage from Republicans. They are not going to. When do you ever see the government stop anything? When do they ever disband an organization? That old Ronald Reagan joke where he says the closest thing we have to eternal life is a government agency. One of these three-letter agencies that, you know, just serves its purpose for a year but never dies out, and they have their employees there that just will do anything to justify their existence for job security. And like I said, this thing is just being put on pause. It'll probably come back after the midterms. This was a quote from a conservative analyst, Stephen Miller. He says, Biden never even announced this board. It was announced on Twitter and disbanded through the Washington Post. Washington Post is effectively the press arm of the administration. Just incredible stuff. This is a media-run state. Nina appeared, I haven't seen her do many live interviews. Last night, she appeared on MSNBC to lament about her experience over the past few weeks. This is clip 11.
It's like, what was the experience of being the focal point of this sort of like massive frenzy like over the last few weeks?
Well, it was really overwhelming, Chris. I mean, frankly, you know, I have prided myself over my career of being a really nuanced, reasonable person. So to say that I'm just a partisan actor was wildly out of context. And then beyond that, it wasn't just, you know, these mischaracterizations of my work, but it was death threats against my family. Over the last 3 weeks, I have maybe had one or two days I didn't report a violent threat, something like, we're coming for you and your family. You and your family should be sent to Russia to be killed. Encouragement of me to commit suicide. All of those have been forwarded to the Department of Homeland Security's security services. And, you know, that's not something that is American. That is not how we should be acting when we have disagreements about policy in this country. I think we need to learn how to be adults in the room. And I don't have time for that childishness. I'm not going to let it silence me. I'm going to go forward and continue building awareness about this threat in the future.
Just take that 90 seconds and ask yourself, is that the person you want to go to when you're confused about the news? Nina, tell me, is this right or wrong? You're so wise. You're so bipartisan. I need your wisdom. I need you to tell me what is right and what is wrong. If you spend any amount of time on the internet, you can read an article on the New York Times. You read that comment section, there are weird and dumb people in there. And you know what you do if you're a reasonable and rational adult? You ignore it because there are dumb and stupid people in our world. She says she doesn't want to give that, or she says she doesn't have time for it because that stuff is so childish. But she's sending all of these comments and tweets to the Department of Homeland Security. It sounds like that's how she's been spending her time, is copy and pasting those comments from the comment section from the weirdos, or they might even just be bots, robots, and sending them to the DHS and bogging them down and say, investigate this. That person told me that they want me to go to the gulag in Russia. That is a very serious threat, and I would like them to be investigated, please. She is childish. And I bet the DHS will probably investigate all of those comments because they might be from conservatives. But if it's a comment from a mass shooter, they will ignore that. They don't have any time for that one. If it's January 6th, they don't have any. Well, they watch it and they let it happen. They set it up. They plan on their own end. Really, she takes those things seriously. What about taking Joy Reid? What about her comments? This was what she said in August 2021. MSNBC host Joy Ann Reid likened the U.S. Christian right to the Taliban. Right-wing Taliban, same thing. We played the montages on here. All of the talking heads on CNN, MSNBC would make that comparison now, that the Republicans are terrorists. Well, it just so happens that the mass shooter in the New York City subway, he posted in February of this year on social media, Republicans are the Taliban of the USA. So clearly he's being radicalized by Joy Reid. After that, he goes on to shoot dozens of white people and Asian people on a subway in New York City. And that story is silenced, blackout. No one wants to talk about it. Happened on the weekend. You don't hear a word about it on Monday. Now, you can't get into playing their game. It's not even comparing apples and apples. These are you're just dealing with people who are liars, people who are only motivated by politics. And it's not just Democrats. It's Republicans too. There's so much derangement in our country, so many lies, and there's so much division coming out of this. I mentioned that I would talk a little bit more about the economy at the top of the hour. We can go ahead and move into playing clip number four. This is from Kevin Brady. He is a Republican congressman. Clip four.
Look, I think there is concern. So the average in inflation the last 3 months is 9.9%. And that tracks the wholesale prices that have been double digit now for five straight months. So I think anyone who thinks inflation has peaked or is going to go away on its own, I think that's a dream that won't happen. But I think the answer lies first in the workforce. As you know, our workforce shrunk by 350,000 workers last month. It's going the wrong direction. There's been no concerted effort to reconnect those 24 to 54-year-old workers back to the workforce. I think they're critical to taming inflation, certainly on the supply chains as well. I would focus on that. Secondly, as we've talked before, don't make this worse. And right now, the Senate is still, with the White House, working on a $1.5 to $2 trillion Build Back Better approach that would fuel inflation and with taxes drive higher prices in about half, I think, of the businesses in America. I think those are exactly the wrong things to pursue. They help get us into this pickle. So I would focus first on workers, secondly, on not taking any congressional action that fuels inflation further.
So you look at what the Biden regime and what their accomplices in the media are talking about, the economy, that something will work through, the economy is strong, the labor force is strong. They've gotten very good at knowing how to fudge these stats and these graphs. He's talking about how the workforce has actually shrunk, and that's what you hear a lot about is, well, the labor market is very strong, unemployment is down, but you still see all of these employers looking to fill positions. So there's a lot of job openings, but where are the people to work? And he's talking about, what did he say? The demographic of, we need to, there's no concerted effort to reconnect those 24 to 50-year-old workers back to the workforce. Well, where are they? Why aren't they working? I've been reading or going through, just kind of skimming this book titled Men Without Work, and it talks about how our country has become so prosperous, women are doing so well in the workforce that a lot of men have just dropped out of the workforce. But those things are hidden in a lot of these stats. There was a lengthier quote that I wanted to read from there. But you see men aren't working. And you can move and manipulate and massage those numbers any way you want to make it say what you can and or what you want. And that's what a lot of people are writing about, even the inflation numbers. You look at just how that number is tracked, and it's the worst in 40 years. Well, the rate is the worst in 40 years, but you're just taking year over year. So if it's up 9% over 2021, what's it up from 2020? What's it up from 2019? And you start to get a bigger picture of how devalued the dollar has actually become. This is a quote from Bloomberg. They write, "The Fed sure sounds as if it expects a recession." They quote from Jerome Powell. On May 4th, he did an interview where he told reporters, "It's a strong economy and nothing suggests it's close to or vulnerable to a recession." Then on May 12th, he says in an interview with Marketplace Radio, he says, "The question whether we can execute a soft landing or not, it may actually depend on factors that we don't control." What is he hinting at there? Well, a lot of people are saying it now that recession is coming soon. This was, we don't need to play it. The CEO of Goldman Sachs, he says, "Start preparing for a recession. Start thinking about a recession." Jim Cramer, we send emails back and forth. One of the funnier accounts is to follow this account, just watches Jim Cramer post everything he says, and the key is, well, you just do the opposite of what Jim Cramer says to do. And it's actually pretty funny. This was Jim Cramer yesterday morning, Wednesday, CNBC. "Expect a rally Wednesday if there's good news from retail giants in China," Jim Cramer says. And then right on cue, Wall Street Journal, "Dow slides more than 1,100 points in worst day since 2020. U.S. stocks fell sharply with two of the major indexes suffering their worst day since 2020, as the latest set of disappointing earnings from large retailers raise investors' fears of a recession." And then Jim Cramer later in the day. So you have the Jim Cramer very optimistic in the morning. You have reality occurring, and that is a terrible day for the stock market. And then you have Jim Cramer in the evening analyzing it, saying, "I will say this. This has to be one of the worst days I can recall in years, and I have been around the block." And you know who was saying this would happen? You know who was saying this would happen under Joe Biden? Donald Trump. This is clip number 12.
"So you have a chance to have the greatest numbers in history. You're almost there. We're almost back to where we were from the standpoint of the stock market. Think of that. But you'll have a crash like you've never seen before. You put the wrong person in office, you'll see things that you would not have believed are possible.
In 29, let me tell you about the stock market. When the stock market goes up, that means jobs. It also means 401ks. If you got in, if you ever became president with your ideas, you want to terminate my taxes, I'll tell you what, you'll lose half of the companies that have poured in here will leave, and plenty
half
of companies that are already here, they'll leave for other places.
Have
they will leave, and you will have a depression, of which you've never seen.
Look,
if he's elected, the stock market will crash."
It happened a lot sooner than we would have thought. I mean, you go back to what was happening in 2020 and the lockdowns. Really, the lockdown, you get back to Niall Ferguson, Tony Fauci, and all those. That lockdown, that approach was part of the coup to take over the United States. Look at how it devastated the economy. And there was no way to avoid really what is happening. That stimulus money, oh, that was so nice at the time. You get a check for a couple thousand dollars. Well, now the average American family is paying $500 more a month for things like gas, electricity, and rent. So that's $6,000 a year extra, and that keeps going up. So all of that stimulus money that you got pretty much is just wiped out now by the rising costs of these things. And then if you're poorer, a higher percentage of your income is spent on energy, on food, and on gas. So and your mortgage as well. So if those things are rising, you're being squeezed. And that recession, like they're saying, or as President Trump was saying, that depression, the likes of which you've never seen, is right around the corner. Inflation in the UK, now it's happening over there. I think it was 9 or 10%. You see the pound declining in value against the dollar. You've got gasoline prices in the United States. All 50 states, the average is above $4. the price of electric vehicles, the thing that Joe Biden keeps telling you to buy so that you don't have to worry about gas prices, is rising as well because those materials are getting more expensive. There's supply chain crunches that make it harder for manufacturers to get those materials. U.S. oil reserves, the lowest they've been since 1987. Biden is dumping those reserves. And yeah, the price of oil went down about a dime for a week, and now it's back up well above where it was when he said that would start to lower the price of oil. Now, it's just, again, you're seeing, I'm not an economist. I don't know all the details of it. Biden obviously is running a terrible economy. But when you look at lockdown, you look at the chain reaction from those decisions, I mean, that was an attack on the United States. It was an attack on the UK. The Economist writes, which housing markets are most exposed to the coming interest rate storm? And they write about a lot of these Nordic countries in Northern Europe. A lot of their mortgages are not fixed rates. So when those interest rates start to go up, those people are having to pay a lot more. And like I was saying earlier, the poorer you are, the higher percentage of your wage you're having to spend on these things. And they say with the price of energy going up, the price of food going up, and now housing going up, these are countries that were normally very stable. And they mentioned Sweden, Denmark, Norway, the Netherlands, Luxembourg. This isn't those Mediterranean countries that are always in financial trouble. You're seeing Europe really be affected by this coming financial crisis. And how is that going to reshape Europe? And that, of course, is an even bigger story than what is happening or a lot of the stories in the United States. Mr. Richard Palmer wrote about this earlier this week. His article was titled, As You Struggle with Inflation, Watch Germany. In 1984, Herbert W. Armstrong wrote that an economic crisis beginning in America could suddenly result in triggering European nations to unite as a new world power larger than either the Soviet Union or the United States. Once again, this Mr. Palmer writes, we can see that potential clearly. America's debt is massive. Sooner or later, the U.S. dollar and economy will blow up, and when they do, it will cause massive problems for Europe. Now, without God's perspective, without understanding Bible prophecy, these are frightening times. You see how unstable our nations are becoming. Look at the political tension in Europe and the United States. And you throw in these rising energy costs, you make food more expensive, or you start having food shortages. People are unstable as it is. And when you start taking away those basics, the riots are not far behind. How is God working all of this out? And what do you know about Bible prophecy? I'd like to talk about that a little bit in the second half. So we can go ahead and take a short break here, and when we come back, we'll talk about the importance of Bible prophecy in your life. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Flurry's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law, and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily. Like I said there in the first half, I'd like to talk a bit about Bible prophecy in this segment. I wanted to, though, begin this short section talking or referring back to a Key of David that Mr. Fleury gave about true education. And what triggered my mind to kind of go in this direction was watching that program and then seeing some of these clips from a hearing this week about abortion and hearing the way some of these people talked about babies, talk about human beings, about life. This is from a hearing. I think it's a collection from one or two hearings from these people who want wide open or total unrestricted access for women to have abortions in the United States. This is clip 7.
Okay. What do you say a woman is?
I believe that everyone can identify for themselves.
Okay. Do you believe then that men can become pregnant and have abortions?
Yes.
So abortion should be allowed then, by your definition, for any reason, for any purpose, at any stage, right?
I trust people to make decisions about their body, and then when relevant, I think that they need to consult their medical practitioners.
Okay.
And not Congress.
If it is, listen, let me just ask you this question. If it is not lawful and morally acceptable to take the life of a 10-year-old child, I assume you agree with that, right? That would be wrong, correct?
I believe that.
Okay.
That is
and
wrong.
A 2-year-old child, same thing. That would be murder. We would all agree that's wrong. Then what is the principal distinction between the human being that is 2 years old or 9 months old or 1 week old or an hour old than one that is 8 inches further up the birth canal in the utero? What's the difference? Why is it okay in the latter case and not the former cases?
I trust people to determine what to do with their own bodies.
Wow.
Full stop.
Just deranged sort of thinking. There was another doctor. She's an OBGYN. And that congressman asked her, what makes a human a human? At what point are they a human? And that doctor said, well, number one is the day they're born. That's why we celebrate birthdays. And this is the scientist, the expert, saying, well, it's not a human until it's born. Now, we've talked a lot about abortion and written a lot about how horrible this is. We just, my wife just had a baby, and we had to go in for ultrasounds and scans, and they do this 4D scan. You see the baby's face at 12, 16 weeks old, and these people, there are people in this world that will butcher that baby, murder that child. And they, I mean, look, imagine going to a clinic like that and it's run by someone that says men can get pregnant. It's not a human being until it's born, as if it's so deranged and it is so satanic. But these people, they look at that baby, they think, well, it's just an inconvenience. It's a responsibility they don't want, so they get rid of it. They exterminate it. They hate that life. And it was just thinking about that where I thought it lined up well with this clip from Mr. Gerald Fleury's latest Key of David. It's titled, What is True Education? This is clip 8.
True education makes us happy. False education, well, it can make us hate life. Hate life and even hate other people. And hate God as well. That's what false education can do. So what could be more important than true education?
There's just a lot of depth in those comments there in that entire program. I'd encourage you to watch if you haven't seen. True education makes us happy. False education, that can make us hate life. Hate life and even hate other people. This world is built on false education. And we would ordinarily just think, well, education is your schooling, where you go to school. Education starts even before a child is born, as we write in the literature, as the Bible teaches, how those parents raise that child. This world is built on the wrong foundation. It does not see God as the creator. And look at how deranged people become when they don't, when they are not building on the right foundation. God created man, and like any designer, like any creator who would make a product or invent something, that product works best when it's used the way the designer intended it to be used, according to those laws. And man wants to just make up his own rules, make up his own laws, and look at how dysfunctional that product is. It's not working. Those doctors we played in that clip earlier, they're just pulling those definitions out of a hat. It's not based on any science. It's just will worship. It's what they will it to be. And look at the fruits of this world. There are two ways. There's God's way. You do it the way he designed man. You follow his laws, and that leads to happiness. It leads to the give way, to love. And there's Satan's way. He is the god of this world. It leads to the get way, selfishness. It leads to people speaking like that, saying a baby is not a human being, so it's okay to butcher it. You have to understand how, or the foundation of this world, to understand world events, to understand the news. Without the Bible, everyone is like it says in Isaiah, they're just walking aimlessly in the dark. There's no direction. And you know that when you look at the fruits of this world. And people will call the religious, they'll call this church, they'll say that, you know, we're crazy for teaching Bible prophecy. Well, what direction do they have? What hope do they have? There's no hope in the conservatives in this world. You know, they won't be far behind the liberals. Give it 5 or 10 years, guarantee it. It's human nature. That's the way it goes apart from God. The Bible is the most current book we have. No book explains this world, this current modern world, better than the Bible. And many Christians who say they believe the Bible dismiss huge aspects of this book. Bible prophecy being one of them. Mr. Armstrong taught, and you read it for yourself, a third of the Bible is prophecy. Jesus Christ was a prophet. Just a few verses. I mean, if you believe the Bible, how do you you should be asking yourself some of these questions. Matthew 24 and verse 14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come." So what is the gospel? Has the gospel been preached? Who preached it? Christ said that would happen before his return. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 3 says that Christ's return will not come until there's a falling away. Well, a falling away from what? Daniel 11 verse 40 says, "At the time of the end shall the king of the north," or the king of the south, "push at him," the king of the north. You understand the identity of these entities. What does the Bible explain and teach about our modern world? The Bible is a current book, and it also tells you what's going to happen. It tells you why. There are so many verses. I had a whole list of them here that are time-sensitive that explain where we are in God's plan. And yet, so many people believe God, so many Christians say that God is not in control of world events or that he doesn't have a plan. Well, I wanted to spend more time going into this reprint article titled, "You Can Understand Prophecy." You can get that on our website, or you can, again, call our phone number. And that reprint will explain just the basics of getting into Bible prophecy, why it's relevant, why you need it to understand your world, the tremendous hope that lies behind Bible prophecy, and how it leads man to have a strong relationship with God the Father, with the Creator. Again, that reprint is titled, "You Can Understand Prophecy." You can request that book. Email us, td@thetrumpet.com. You can call us, 1-866-930-3024. Thank you very much for tuning in on today's show, and we'll be Back with you tomorrow, live from Arizona. See you tomorrow.